Okay. We're back. Those of you, and there are not going to be that many of you this week that are watching the recording, because most of us have been live in the classroom or on web conference. But those of you that are watching the recording, like we did last week, I'm going to ask you to stop the recording before we get into our feedback. And then you go up, you post feedback to the discussion forum, then come back, and you can listen to our oral feedback here live. Well, for you, it'd be via the recording that we're doing here live. And then maybe you can go back again and repost if you want to take exception or add on to something that was brought up in our feedback that you hadn't thought about. But again, I want to encourage you not to listen to all our feedback and then go up to the discussion forum, but instead to, you know, do your own feedback and then come listen to us. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with Abby's. We're going to start with the one that we're starting to forget. Okay, you know, is, you know, far enough back, we're all tired, so after a long day, so we need to start with the one that was furthest away. We'll then work our way to the most recent one. So we're looking at Abby's presentation on Romans 13, 1 through 7. So I would first like to hear from y'all, and that y'all in this case would include you, Pablo, here in the classroom, and then all those that are in the web conference, strengths of Abby's presentation. Remembering that we're thinking not just about speech mechanics, but also content.
This is Trace. I'd like to start. I want to, the strengths are what I like is how all the slides, I like the title of how the slides were according to what the lesson was about. It really helped me to understand what she's about to say or what the lesson was about according to the title of the slides. And also the consistency of what the lesson was about to obey the Lord.
Okay, but by titles, are you talking like at the top of the slide, the header?
Right, the header, yes, the header each slide.
Okay, so the headers in the presentation gave us a peg on which to hang the thoughts, or, you know, to use that analogy. Okay, anything else?
Sorry, someone else.
Go ahead, Pablo. Go ahead. Go ahead, Pablo.
For me, I feel like I could relate to it. Obviously, I'm a millennial, so it's a little bit easier for me. And it was clear movement between each slide and throughout the presentation.
Okay. Richard, I believe you were about to say something.
Yes, sir. I was just going to say, I think pretty accurate analysis of our culture. And some of the things that our culture is dealing with, especially in the case of the millennials, I that was a pretty accurate interpretation and a good analysis of how to bring mature into our context.
Okay. Others? Any others?
I was going to say the structure of the overall information was really good and well processed. And then I did, you're very knowledgeable about your scripture as far as the historical context and background information. So that was really done well done as well.
Okay.
I would notice how, is it Abigail? Yeah. I can tell that you took time to, prepare your presentation while at the same time not taking so much time to present it. And I like what someone said, you know, you're very knowledgeable and you weren't all over the place. I mean, you weren't all over the place in trying to prove or argue your point. And so, job well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's when you get into a practical application part, you know, dealing with Romans 13 is different than dealing with Romans 5. You know, at that point, the word study, doctrinal, you know, the background, all that, it's more straightforward. And so much of the task when you're doing a text, and Robin is much the same way with her text, is maybe finding parallel passages that reinforce. And what a couple of you noted, finding the place in our culture or behavior where these words that are written 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, you know, depending on the text, where it is that we meet them, where these texts encounter us and where we encounter them. And like a couple of you noted, you know, Abby, you know, honed in on that, hey, I'm a millennial and we don't like authority, you know, sort of thing. And I, to kind of look the millennials off the mat for a while, I think every generation's had this problem. You know, it's kind of an 18 to 25 year old. It's just that I think millennials are having a rougher time getting out of that stage as they move towards their 30s. But yeah, we are in an age where authority is not to be respected. Authority is something to be suspicious of, to be repudiated. I'm going to do it my way. It's kind of interesting that Paul said in the last days, people will be defying authority. So that's probably something worth noting if you ever do this again, that, you know, we do live in an age where this is a problem. If Abigail was going to do this again, in a different setting, perhaps, what things would you point to as possible areas for improvement, both in terms of how it's presented and the content that is presented?
Well, I would like to, Abigail, you did a really good job. So good job, girl. What I would like to see more of is actually see the scriptures on the screen to see where you're coming from, where I can go and read it and study it for my own personal use. And so I would like to see scriptures more up on the screen.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. Notice the differences in the approaches. Robin and I had an email exchange earlier today when I said, okay, you're gonna need PowerPoint, you're gonna need me to project the text, or are you gonna go old school? And I think, you know, there's a lot of power in the idea of letting people use their own Bible and going old school without projection and all that, because that forces you to be a good communicator, by the way. It is good sometimes, even though you have the capability to use PowerPoint, Prezi, you know, all the other various things that you can use, it is good to force yourself not to use them so that you force yourself to become a better oral communicator. But the flip side of that, if you don't go old school, you almost got to go all the way with new school. You know, like, oh, wait a minute, you know, you're showing me pictures, you're showing me text, so show me the text, is kind of a thing. And then just let those who want to look at their Bible look at their Bible. People like me in the audience who like, okay, oh, you're projecting the text, so I'll look down here at my Bible so I can actually, you know, come in contact with. Something else? Anything else?
I would just kind of go off of what Tracy said. If, you know, about millennials, if you're talking to a millennial group, something that's a little bit more visually, I guess, pops off the page more or something. It was very kind of everything went together. And so I think maybe to space it up or to break it out or just to give something, oh, visually stimulating, that's the word. Something that, you know, millennials, they need that, you know, they're used to apps in their face. You guys know. So stuff like that, I think, would really help.
Okay. I would say some quotations too, you know, establish that point. Hey, we're not too keen on authority. And here are some samplings from our culture that tell us that, you know, your things that that are in print, things that people have said, whatever. Don't necessarily have to do the film clip, but give the quote, you know, that sort of thing. In fact, that may be more effective than doing the clip, because one of the problems you always have, this will dovetail into other presentations. Be very careful with the use of the YouTube video. Not only does it give you technologically give you things to worry about, but you always, whenever you use a scene from a movie, scene from a concert or whatever, is you're always beckoning people to start thinking about something else. A sports clip, you know, the, you know, famous game. Oh yeah, I was there. I remember what I was doing. Yeah, da da da. The film. Oh, that was a great film. You know, I went there with my buddies, you know, and all that. It's like, okay, no, we're going for this quote. It may be better just to quote the quote. You always have to think about what are all the secondary, corollary, and tertiary, you know, things are going to happen if I show this film clip. In youth ministry, I always warn guys, be careful about the clip, because you show, even though there's nothing racy, you know, lewd or anything like that in the clip that you show, if you show a clip out of a movie that everyone knows, so there's one scene over here where that's what the kids are going to talk about. They ain't going to talk about the point you were trying to make. And so you have to kind of think all that through whenever you use a clip. And again, you didn't use a clip, so I don't know why we're really talking about that, except just to warn about quotations, things like that. Other things. Let me then make a couple something. I also want to laud the fact that you knew what you wanted to do. You know, it's not like, okay, you had laser focus. This is the point I'm going to make. I'm going to make the point, then I'm going to quit making points. Okay, you knew what you wanted to do. You knew what your objectives were. You told everybody what the objectives were, and you pursued those objectives, and that is to be lauded. That is that, you know, you follow that formula, good things are going to happen. I would say, first of all, it'd be good to tell the audience what translation you're using.
Okay.
You did an oral reading, and we didn't know, well, I do because I could see your Bible, but tell the group what translation you're using. Somebody mentioned the historical background. It is good that you gave us that historical background, but it was a little bit rapid fire and probably needed a little bit of explanation. What do you mean that the Jews got kicked out of Rome? For, you know, just kind of talk about that and to clarify that at the time of the writing, they're not out. They're, yeah. In fact, they're back in. You know, make sure you're clear about that. You made a statement on the slide, and you reinforced it orally. Christians did not submit to Roman rule. I'm like, I'm not sure that's an accurate assessment. You know, first of all, obviously, if Paul's telling them to do that, he at least envisions it as a possible problem. So there may be, you know, at least some people out, some believers out there that weren't doing it. But maybe that needs definition of, you know, did they rebel? I don't think there's any records of Christians leading armed rebellion against the Roman Empire. Did they go out and have the, you know, the king is a fink, you know, from BC comics, you know, did they demean the Caesar? What did you mean by that?
Honestly, I don't.
I think
I worded it not the way I wanted to word mm-hmm. it. It's probably just the way I worded
yeah,
it.
Yeah, what I said is, I think Christians didn't bow to cultural and societal pressures while they still submitted to the authority of the empire. I think, for example, in the civil rights movement, part of the power of the civil rights movement in the 1960s was that there were people who were willing to defy the cultural system and the evil that was in the cultural system, and in some respects, break some laws that were more about reinforcing the cultural structures, the societal structures, yet when arrested, they would go off to prison and not retaliate. Okay, you know, the whole peaceful resistance or nonviolent resistance concept was based on that. I also remember during the Vietnam War, my older brother Charles was of draftable age, and I remember watching the draft lottery on TV, and I remember that night clearly, watching that. But I remember more clearly the discussions we had as a family for the previous 2 weeks. My father, who was a World War II veteran, had by that time come to the conclusion that the way the U.S. was prosecuting the war at the time. Now, I'll tell you, as I'm saying this, that my father-in-law was a Vietnam veteran, and Rob, of course, your father was as well, that my dad's problem with the war was not necessarily that, you know, all war is evil and all that. He was becoming very, very concerned that it appeared that it was only poor people and a disproportionate number of minorities who were bearing the brunt of the war, and that many rich people, many rich boys in America were getting deferments and all that. And he was very concerned that we seemed to not be really trying to win this war, but just trying to bide our time. And so he had come to conclusion, my brother had come to conclusion, that if drafted, my brother would not go. But if drafted, he would neither would he go to Sweden or Canada. But he would go to jail as a conscientious, you know, objector. And, you know, if they wanted to put him in jail, they'd put him in jail. I can remember that like it was last night. That decision, yeah, because that's a decision you don't come to lightly as a family about your 18-year-old son. My brother was willing to go to prison.
He didn't get drafted, did he?
He didn't get drafted. But he was willing to go to prison. If that's what would happen, we would not resist the authority of the state as believers. And I think that's a little bit what was going on in the world of Paul, the world of Rome, that they didn't submit to societal and cultural pressures, while at the same time they respected the authority. And of course, you know, you brought in the exception, and there I think it would have been helpful for you to cite the Acts 4 passage, or Acts 3, I forget where, it's somewhere in that 3 through 5 section where John and Peter are arrested, and they say, and they're told not to preach, and we have to obey God, not man. So those are some things I would encourage you to do if you did this again. Okay, let's move to Pablo's presentation. Okay, beginning with strong points, strengths of Pablo's presentation.
The clip, get the audio, and I'll be with the film. I think using kind of analogy of, you know, mission first, and we're going to drive on to we see the mission completed. I think that went well with his presentation.
Okay, the breaking up of the text, is that where we were getting some feedback. Were you talking about the breakup of the text? Is that what I caught you saying? That was effective? Well, at least that's what I thought. Okay. So, somebody else.
I guess kind of if that's what you said, I'm going off that I like that you had all the verses up there. It's easy for me to follow along, and the breakdown was really cool, the way that you had us interact with you on that.
Well, I would just get ready to say that, Abigail, so I'm with you on that. I like the fact how he engaged us and had us participate with him and ask questions regarding those things and how his slides were organized.
Okay. So how the slides were organized, I'm going to go ahead just so we make sure we kind of stay within our time frame tonight. I think one of the big things in that regard is that, you know, he was working us through the three steps: observation, interpretation, application. Pablo was awake that day in Introduction to Biblical Research. Or How to Study the Bible, whatever it was called back when I forget where How to Study the Bible. You know, whenever Pablo was taking it, he was awake that day. He knows those three steps, and so he used that as a structuring device. Let's talk about what we see. Let's talk about how that works for meaning, and now let's talk about what do we do with what we learn. So he walked us through those three steps twice, maybe three times, and I forget. So he's clear. He clearly had a structuring device that he wanted to use. Any other strengths that you see in looking? Okay. Yes, we have Richard noted in the use of the film that the soldiers were going to complete the mission regardless of what, you know, what else was happening, that they were going to that was a strong point they carried through on that. Okay, if Pablo was going to do this again, what suggestions for improvement would you give him?
Well, you want to go first, Abigail?
Go ahead,
Tracy.
I would suggest, probably did a good job, to break up your text on the screen because it was a little wordy. I was getting a little lost with all the scriptures on the slide. If you can just break it up a little bit better, or just not reading it word for word and just kind of getting us lost a little bit. That's all.
Okay.
I know you're probably nervous, but you're just a little bit monotone is all. Just I'll add a little inflection to your voice. It adds a little excitement and the power.
That was more so at the end.
Yeah.
At the beginning, that wasn't the case. But as you moved along, I think you were part of that may have been, I think I'm almost there. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And then the colors of the slides, they're just a little too. There's actually a YouTube video you can see that shows you what colors look good on PowerPoints for visuals.
Yeah. Now, if you're watching on, you know, live in the web conference, you know, because remember, you could see on our screen here in the big, you know, whiteboard here, the words just got sucked into, but they were fine. They were fine. On the web conference, it looked like. So part of that is, this is not really a fault of your presentation, but your presentation gives me the opportunity to make this point. Whenever you're speaking, you know, and you have a chance to get there early and to look at things, you know, the way it's going to be, try to take that opportunity. Now, often you don't have that chance, but again, this is not necessarily critiquing your presentation. This is just, it gives me the opportunity to give you this advice. Whenever you can get to a place early and see what it's going to look like, do it, okay? Because like if we'd had the opportunity to go through, hey, what's that going to look like, okay? And oh my, that's not going to work well. Let's go back and let's make those lines purple. Okay, let's change the color so I can see them better, so the audience can see them better. Then that's good to do that. Other things that you would do for improvement?
I would suggest if you are doing, again, the younger generation. I know you mentioned high school. I think if you can bring up some type of personal story or something that's relatable, I think younger people tend to connect with a sermon or a presentation if you can show them that you're just like them, like if they can connect some way with the story.
Okay. Let me throw out a few things before we move on to Robbins. The biggest thing that I would suggest is when you did the observation stage, you basically just threw it open. So, okay, what's your impression? yeah. What's rattling through your head right now? That usually is a very daunting thing for an audience, okay? I think it would have gone better if you would have asked us very specific questions, especially if you, for time constraints and for the purposes of your lesson, you want us to see a specific thing in the text. Ask us a question that directs us right to that specific thing. For instance, those first like four verses, what descriptions of God do you see in this text? So, well, you know, the seraphim said he's holy, holy, holy. Okay. He's glorious. His glory fills the temple. Ask a specific question at each stop on the observation stage. If you had asked this a specific question, then you could have followed up. That's right. Okay, now let's talk about the significance of that. Let's expand upon that. You know, let me tell you something about the background of what's going on. It is very important in observation that you ask very specific questions that have specific answers that come from the text. The The big thing that does is it allows the audience, the class, to see the thing that you're going to focus on. It also forces them to look at the text. If you kind of do so, hey, we just read these verses, what are you thinking about? Well, some dude in your class could come off with something that has nothing really to do with this text, but it's more about maybe a word or phrase they saw, and they're extrapolating something from way out of here, and now you just lost control of your class because of something that weird Harry said. Okay, something that, hey, you know, especially if you got high school kids, man, you know, who knows what they're thinking. Okay, so, you know, weird Harry, a character that you will always remember from your senior Bible seminar. Okay, so ask specific questions in the observation stage. Friend, what phrases in this part of the text point to Isaiah's sinfulness? Oh, woe is me. I'm an unclean man. And I live in a group of people that's unclean, you know, lips. Oh, he's unclean. Okay, yeah. Things like that I think would be very helpful. Okay, Robin's presentation. Robin dealing with Proverbs 6 through 11. What did you see as the strengths of Robin's presentation?
I really like that she pulled personal life experiences and experiences from her family to connect with the audience. That helps make the application of the verses more real.
What, give us an example.
Like what you said about your dad, that specifically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting because the one I jotted down, although it's when you said that, oh yeah. And I've already referred to what you said. I jotted down the Netflix binge. Okay. You know, like I've been there, it's like, when the school year is over, okay. when Dr. Halen's got all his grades in, okay, I'll be watching Netflix like nobody's business. Okay. I'll be on my Apple TV just today at lunchtime. Mr. Worley, Mark Worley, our vice president for advancement, was talking to me and to Dr. Neal about a couple different British, you know, TV shows he's been watching. So like, oh yeah, I've seen that. So I know what I'm watching now in the middle of May. And I do that for like 3 days. And then I go, wait a minute. It's now time to get back to work. Fun time is over. But once I get into that mode, the lawn ain't getting mowed. No dishes are being done. And my wife comes home. So what did you do today? She asked me as she looks at me as I'm lying on the couch in the same pajamas that she saw me in as she left and that she saw me in the night before. Okay. And so it's like, yeah, that's what we do. Yeah. Other strengths.
I like that. Go ahead,
Pablo. Yeah, Pablo, he always starts but never gets it out. Okay.
The use of your story and quote to help you open your presentation and close it.
Okay. Story and quotation to open and to close. Okay. Using that envelope structure. Okay. Somebody else was starting something.
Okay. Yes, this is Sharon. I like how Robin began her sermon with a story. And, I mean, it was very well prepared, but I also like how she ended it with a think about it. And then prayer, you know, left you with something to think about. And also prayer.
Okay. Using the prayer to close and begin. Okay, what would you suggest for improvement?
Dr. Halen, let me speak on the strength before you start on that.
Okay.
Sure. I like the fact that whenever you sit in a sermon, whenever you sit in church and you listen to a sermon, it's nothing more than walking away with strong conviction. When you was talking about the Netflix, like, oh no, there's a show that I can see me just continually. Time gets by, then the kids come to bother me. Get out! My show is on. So that brought, you know, it opened my eyes and it brought conviction, which lets me know that you did a really good job to stay the course. And you really spoke a strong sermon, and your speech was very clear. I understand everything you were saying, and I was really thinking about, okay, what do I need to do to change my ways? What do I need to do to try to get going and stop being so lazy about certain areas? And like, you can easily get lazy about certain things. So, really good job. Thank you.
Yeah, I just glanced out. Oh my, yeah, that. Laziness is the product of our overly self-centered society, or something like that. It was a statement they made. That's one of those, wow, I never really thought about that, of laziness being a product of self-centeredness. Usually... Sorry about that. That's I am the father of the bride, and so sometimes I'm getting these. We have a wedding in about a month, okay? So sometimes my daughter forgets that I have a job, okay? Okay, she doesn't know my schedule. She'll wait. I think she's just excitement because I told her that we had figured out where we're getting our barbecue for the reception. Okay. Okay. So yeah, the that's funny. Tracy, I now have a picture in my mind of like a fire in the kitchen, and the boys are going, should we tell her because she's watching her show? Yeah. All right. Okay. Things for improvement.
I think one thing would be to, as you said about mine, because you were trying to reach all audiences and the visuals, it's just, like, it's easier to follow along if there's a PowerPoint of some kind. That would be my only suggestion, is just to be able to follow along a little easier.
Of course, the flip side of that is, If you're not doing PowerPoint, then some of the old methods of making sure everybody's with you then come into play. If we've got a PowerPoint up there, we know what the point is because it's as big as, you know, daylight out there. You know, we got the main point there. If we're not using those structures, those mechanisms, then we need to use oral mechanisms of repetition, things like that, to reinforce. For instance, your first main point, consider each day, I don't know, I forget the exact wording, but I jotted down a venue for God's blessing. Whatever the wording was that you used, maybe to go back and repeat it a couple times, that would have helped us to learn what the proper order is. We work and then we sleep. We accomplish, then we rest. To restate the points with those vocal mechanisms that I were used to, okay, the older generation that we grew up, this is how you do a speech, and this is how you make sure people contract with you. Those are still good mechanisms to use, because we're not always going to be able to use a PowerPoint in a meeting or whatever. So, perhaps use more of those vocal mechanisms, the speech mechanisms that we used to use a lot in our culture to emphasize certain things.
Richard agrees with you.
Okay. Your rate may have been a little too rapid at times. That's one of those things. You know, some of us are fast talkers. That's all there is to it. You know, and those of us that are fast talkers need to know that. Need to say, okay, so this is, I got to go in thinking about the fact that I'm a fast talker. And I have to compensate for that. I have to be aware of that and to make the appropriate adjustments. I'm a fast talker. Part of that is I'm also from the north, and people from the south, you know, they tell me, you talk fast. I'm like, I'm talking just as fast as I've always talked, okay? And you know, people in Ohio can keep up with me. What's your problem? Well, it's just that, you know, I need to slow down. And I probably talk too fast for people in the north as well. Okay. I think that's got it. And we're right at 8:30. So next week we're going to have, I think we're also going to have three presentations next week. Is that, I think so. By way of announcements, we didn't do this at the beginning, so this is announcements and reminders. If you haven't already done the evaluation of a student paper, make sure you do that. I actually think that just about everyone in this section has actually done that. I think I'm preaching to the choir on this. It's my day section, the trad section, that's having the problem with that. The other big thing to make sure you've done is to make sure you've done the assessment test. If you are just, you know, you've been working so hard just to get the paper done and all that kind of stuff, I understand if you've left the assessment test to the very end. Just make sure you don't forget to do that. There's two tests. Each is 5% of your final course grade for doing it. It's an easy 100 on those. Make sure you get those done. And if you will remember, after you do one, to send me a quick email that says, hey, Dr. Halen, I did the ABHE test. I did the DCC test. And that'll help me, okay, to go up, verify, give you the points. It's not necessary that you do that. You're not going to get points deducted if you don't do that. It's just one of those things. If you remember to do it, please do it. Send me that email. That way I can go up and get it posted more quickly that way. All right. I just want to say, in closing tonight, this is, again, one reason why I really like this time of year, because it gives you the opportunity to share with your classmates things that you've learned. I get to learn things. It also kind of opens up, you know, like in the case of Pablo, you know, you never had this experience before. Okay. And the first time out's a bit scary, okay? But I think you have a lot to offer a lot of people, okay? And I know you don't see yourself in ministry, you know, but that doesn't mean you're not going to minister to people. And so, you know, I always enjoy getting to watch our business administration majors. I always like to get a chance to see them kind of spread their wings a little bit and try this, you know, this sort of thing, because you're going to be leading men's groups. You're going to, And even in your profession, you're going to get up in front of people and speak. And so maybe you won't be speaking about these things, but the experience of getting up in front of people and speaking is important for you to do. So there's a lot of reasons why this is my favorite time of year. I think there's probably something about it. It's also wrapping up. So, yeah, this time of year is like, hey, we're getting close to the finish line. So, all right. So we'll see y'all next week. Bye-bye.